Unlike the small private service for the Vanguard dead, the memorial service for the civilians killed in their attempt to fight off the invasion packed the largest hall Moray Station could find. Despite the urgent need for ships, construction work halted long enough for the ceremony, because riggers closed ranks around their Miznarii co-workers and their families. Kai and her escort had a space near the front. They edged through the already crowded room. At the far end, on an improvised stage, someone had mounted images of those who had died. Along the sides of the room, as outside, a line of station police kept watch. Kai had to shake innumerable hands, nod and smile innumerable times. Everyone, it seemed, wanted to speak to her, touch her. She was glad this was the last such service. For now, she would have to attend. That, for the crew of Vanguard, delayed until she was out of treatment, was only a day past. On the professional side, what the riggers had done was foolhardy and even stupid. Once they'd undone the controls the enemy had placed on the ships, they should have let the station take over control and bring them back to dock. But that would have meant turning their Miznarii friends over to station security as saboteurs, exposing those families to legal scrutiny and public scorn, or worse. Instead, they had chosen to make heroes out of potential suspects. Moray's senior security officer, Kendallman, shared with her the initial record of the conversation between riggers and the station on the ship they called 30. It would have been remarkable if even one of the crews had done this, but they all had.
They're a tight-knit bunch, the riggers. And this particular group all live in the same neighborhood. The Miznarii keep to themselves somewhat, but the neighborhood leaders are all unusually gregarious.
So you think this Lozar knew what he was doing?
No. I think it's like his friend said. He was just barely bright enough to be a rigger, and he was always a go-along kind of fellow. That new cleric of theirs, though, he knew what those data dots were for, and he knew Lozar was gullible enough to believe what he was told.
Now, surrounded by friends and relatives of those who'd died, Kai was ushered to a seat in the second row, next to a stocky, dark-haired, middle-aged woman and a girl who was obviously her daughter, neither with implant bulges. On the far side of them sat a young red-headed woman, her implant bulge showing through hair pulled back in a bun. She had her arm around the shoulders of the daughter.
Lozar Patanji's widow and daughter.
They could not know that she, Kai, had a reason, distant and minor, comparatively, to be less than sympathetic to Miznarii. The woman turned to Kai. She looked miserable and exhausted, but she summoned up a weak smile.
Thank you for saving us from those pirates.
I wish I had been able to save all your families.
Her shoulders trembled. Tears overflowed her eyes.
It was not possible to save Lozar. Once he only did what he was told.
Kai was not sure what was culturally acceptable. The Miznarii woman would consider her, anyone with an implant, a humod, and so might consider contact a contamination. But the woman's obvious distress required something. Kai put out her hand, and Sarah Pitanji clung to it.
I don't know what to do. We have no savings. My daughter was to be married, and we had spent everything on her.
In a low, rapid voice, she poured out her troubles as if Kai should be able to do something. Lozar's disgrace, the rent due, the death of her daughter's suitor on another of the ships, the confusion of the congregation when their cleric turned out to be one of Turek's agents, everything. All Kai knew to do was listen, let her hand be squeezed out of shape, and hope that the ceremony started sometime soon. When it did start, Sarah Pitanji let go of Kai's hand at last. Each rigger's family had a chance to speak, usually telling some anecdote about the family member. They were taken in order of the ship numbers. When number 17 was called, the red-haired girl three seats down got up and made her way forward. Sarah Pitanji turned to Kai, tears running down her face.
Oh, both her parents, both of them dead. And her mother was the sweetest woman. We worked together on some committees. I don't know what Meg will do.
Kai froze. She had been where Meg was, only this girl was younger.
She could not speak. She wanted to be somewhere, anywhere else, rather than here. At least no one had asked her to give a speech after losing her parents in a violent attack.
All of us here today are feeling a huge loss in our lives. We're remembering the individuals who meant so much, and coming to terms with the fact that they won't be coming back. In our pain, some of us are looking for someone to blame for our loss. We think that revenge will make us feel better. I don't have to say who or what is the easy target for our anger and our hurt, but I think we need to remember that in the situation that took our loved ones from us, they did not act as individuals. To them, the difference didn't matter. At a time when it would have been even easier to punish a person or a group for their horrible situation, they chose to put all that aside and pull together. It was the right thing to do, and they did it. And we need to do it too.
Kai felt tears stinging her own eyes. When the time came for the families of those who died in 30, Meg stood up with Lozar's daughter and helped her to the front. The daughter read from a sheet of paper, now much crumpled.
Lozar Patanji was a good man. His family remembers him as a loving and devoted husband and father. He was an honest man who saw the good in all people. Because of this, he assumed that others were as honest as he was. So he did not realize that. His friends on 30 knew him as a good and loyal friend. And they too were loyal to him. They knew that he would never, ever knowingly do anything to hurt.
Meg patted her shoulder and helped her back to her seat. Let's go sit down. Ship 30 was the last of the hero ships, as the local press called them. And when a co-worker of D. Watson, who had no family at the memorial, had talked about the man's fascination with the same entertainment series many of the group enjoyed, Swords of the Spaceways, a government official handed out medals from the stage. Then family members lined up to walk past the row of pictures, while others stood around in clumps, talking and waiting their turn. By the time she left, Kai had a dozen invitations to lunch, dinner, a couple of birthday parties, and various private wakes.